Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, and reading through verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about us loving our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, if that was God's standard, I would have no problem with that. But that's not God's standard. That's the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is that God has given us as Christians a much higher standard than any leader or any religion has ever been given. I believe that there are people today who think that the standard under the New Testament is so much lower than ever before. They feel like that, and quote often as an excuse to live any way they want to, there are people that quote that we are not under the law, but we're under grace. And they use that and distort that to think that we can just live a loose life and live an ungodly life, that God is just merciful and gracious, and since Jesus has come, that everything is so much easier, and we don't have anything really much to do in this life because Jesus has saved us from our sins. I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, and that is who Jesus is speaking to in this Sermon on the Mount, is His disciples, I believe that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, that more is required of you than has ever been required of any child of God prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. There's a higher standard that we are given. I want to also emphasize that all these high standards that God has given us and all these things that God has taught us to do and all the ways that Jesus has set an example of how to live, us following that and us meeting that standard, that does not get us into the eternal heaven. That does not make us righteous before God. We, in our own works and deeds and faithfulness, the Word of God tells us that we can never attain unto that that is necessary to enter the eternal heaven. Our eternal salvation is not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. And yet, our works are important. And that's what Jesus is setting forth in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, now, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now that is a higher standard than they ever lived under the law. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that a high standard? I don't know of anything in all of the Word of God that is as difficult for me to do as what Jesus says in that one verse of Scripture. And then He says in the next verse, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Isn't it easy to love them which love you? If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Now He's going to say that here is the standard of the publicans and the scribes and the Pharisees. Here is the standard of all the rest of the religious world. But my standard is way up here. And so He says, if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want us to go back to verse 47 where Jesus makes this statement. He says, in the middle of that verse, He says, what do ye more than others? And that's a question that I think all of us need to hear Jesus asking us, is what do we more than others? Are we doing more than others? if we're going to be a Christian, is it required that we do more than others? I believe that it is. I believe that to follow the teachings of Christ, I believe that more is required of us than anyone else. Now let's go back and see in the Scriptures that that's what's taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Back up in your Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 5. Look, please, at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20 to see that the standard that Christ gives to His disciples is higher than the standard that anyone else has given. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, the Word of God says, Jesus speaking, He says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness..." Now again, who is He speaking to? In the Sermon on the Mount, to whom is He speaking? To His disciples. You go back and look at Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, you'll find that He took His disciples and He began to teach them. So these words in Matthew 5:20 are to disciples of Jesus Christ. And He says to His disciples, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, does He help us understand? Does He help us understand that our righteousness has to be higher than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Now, let me say this. I understand that you can apply that just to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that's what Jesus is teaching here. I believe that there is a practical righteousness that God's people who are disciples of Christ, that there is a practical righteousness that we are to attain unto that is higher than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And that righteousness is a result of us loving Jesus and following Jesus and serving Jesus in our lives. When you do that, your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And He says here, Jesus says, He says, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into what? You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Remember now, there's a major difference in the kingdom of heaven and the eternal heaven. That the eternal heaven is where God's people, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, that all of God's family are going to be in the eternal heaven forever by the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the amazing grace of God. But God in His mercy and grace has established the kingdom of heaven for God's obedient children while they live here in the earth. But the only children of God that are blessed to enter into and remain in that kingdom of heaven are those that are walking and living in such a way that their righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now He's going to give the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees in the rest of this chapter. He's going to say, "Now this was their standard, but here's my standard. This was their standard, but here's my standard." Look what He does in the 21st and 22nd verses. He says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Is that part of the law? Is that part of what the scribes and the Pharisees taught? That was their standard. Thou shalt not kill. Jesus says, showing His higher standard, He says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." What's He saying there? He's saying that under the law, if you listen to the standard of the scribes and Pharisees, the standard was thou shalt not kill. But under Christ, the standard is thou shalt not be angry with your brother without a cause. And if you have, let me say this, if you have a cause to be angry with your brother, you're supposed to go to that brother and make it clear what the problem is. One of the biggest problems that Christians have and have always had is that they do not express their concern one to another. And there's nothing that will divide and conquer the church and destroy the fellowship of the people of God any more than when one has a fault with a brother or a sister in Christ and will not open their mouth about what the problem is. You have the responsibility to go to your brother, Matthew chapter 18 makes it clear that if you've got a fault with your brother, you go to that brother and you talk to them and you explain to them what the problem is. If you cannot be reconciled, then you carry two or three with you and try to get reconciled. And if you still can't be reconciled, then bring it before the church. Follow God's word in Matthew chapter 18, and you'll find that reconciliation will almost always take place. Don't be angry one with another. Don't be angry one with another. What was the standard of the scribes and Pharisees? What was their level of righteousness? Thou shalt not kill. But what was Jesus' standard? Don't be angry with your brother. See, killing is an outward, visible, tangible manifestation of hatred. But hatred in your heart will destroy you. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy fellowship, but it'll destroy your life. So it says, don't be angry with your brother. Now it comes down in verses... Come down to verses 27 and 28. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time. Let me back up just a moment. In verse 21, he says, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not kill. Now, does that law still abide today? Thou shalt not kill. Does that standard of the Ten Commandments, does it still maintain true today? Indeed, it does. Listen, brethren, there is nothing in the Ten Commandments that has changed. The moral law of the Ten Commandments is still just as much applicable to the people of God as it has ever been. In fact, the standard today is higher than it was under that moral law. In Matthew chapter 5, listen now to verses 27 and 28. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, is that a valid? Was that part of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Are we still under that? At least under that. We're still under, thou shalt not commit adultery. You've heard, what's that? That's the standard of the scribes and Pharisees. You remember what he said in verse 20? He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he says, now here was their standard. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. What's Jesus doing when he says, the law said you shall not kill, but I say don't be angry. What's he dealing with? The heart. And then he says, the law said you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, don't commit adultery in your heart. Don't look on a woman to lust after her. There is a difference in hating someone and killing someone, isn't there? There's a difference. This idea that if you think it, you might as well do it is a lie from the devil. This idea that it is just as bad to do something as it is to think it is a lie from the devil. There are thoughts that come into our hearts and minds that we must tear down those evil thoughts. And it is not the same. I am not minimizing looking on a woman to lust after her in your heart. But looking on a woman and lusting after her in your heart is not the same as committing adultery, literally. But it is a standard that Jesus set up. It is a standard that if I want to be in the kingdom of heaven, I cannot look on a woman and lust after her in my heart. If I do, I cannot be in the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus says, here's the standard I've given for you to enter the kingdom of heaven, is that you are not to look on a woman and lust after her in your heart. If you do, you're out. You're out of the kingdom of heaven. All the rest of this chapter is talking about, now I'm not going to go through every detail, but all the rest of this chapter is showing the difference in the standard under the law and the standard under Christ. Which is higher? Which one is a higher goal? Which is a higher standard? The standard under Christ is much higher. And then he closes out this chapter in verse 43 that we began with. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Well, that's good. And hate thine enemy. Well, that's not really what the law said. They added to the law. But he says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a high standard. And I pray that God will help us all, me and you and every one of us, God will help us to truly be able to pray for our enemies. There are times that I'm so close to God that I have no trouble praying for my enemies. But there are times that I have difficulty praying for my enemies. But no matter how difficult it is, we have that responsibility as Christians. If I want to dwell in the kingdom of heaven, my righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. I cannot just love my neighbor and hate my enemy. I have to love even my enemies. That's the standard of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? Is that the standard? He didn't just speak it. He lived it. Stephen didn't just say that that's what we were supposed to do. He loved his enemies. He prayed for those who were killing him. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, because the rest of this sermon, all the way through this sermon, I want you to understand that what he's doing, what Jesus is doing in this sermon, is showing us how much higher the standard is if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. And this is the standard that Jesus requires for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm not going to read all of Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with what the scriptures teach. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, what is Jesus talking about here? What's the main subject that he's talking about? Okay? There are three, in Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 17, there are three things that Jesus talks about. The first thing he talks about in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, is giving alms. And he says, now the standard of the scribes and the Pharisees is that they do give alms. But when they give alms, what do? They sound the trumpet. They let everybody know what they've done. Jesus says, here's my higher standard. You're to still give alms. You're to help people that are in need. But you're to do it not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do you follow the standard of Jesus? Here's a new standard now. It's not enough just to give to the poor. It's necessary that when you give to the poor, when you give your alms, you do it without sounding a trumpet, without telling anyone else what you've been doing. Same thing is then true when he begins in verse 5, and he's talking about praying. He says that the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, that when they pray, they like to stand in the streets and they like to sound forth a trumpet. They like for people to hear them praying. Jesus says, but I say unto you, here's my standard. You enter into your closet and you pray. There's a great standard and there's a great privilege and there's a great blessing that you get when you do pray in secret. And your Father, this is what he reiterates all the way through this whole first half of Matthew 6 is, your Father sees in secret. And your Father that sees what you're doing in secret, your giving of alms in secret, and your praying in secret, and your fasting, which is the last thing that he deals with in the first half of the sixth chapter, your fasting and your praying and your giving of alms, they're all to be done without sounding a trumpet, without letting other people know that you do what you're doing. See, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, did they pray? Did they give alms? And did they fast? Yes, they did. But when they fasted, what did they do? They disfigured their faces and they went about looking like they were in major agony and pain because they were fasting. They wanted everyone else to know what they were doing. What Jesus is saying here to me is that when we're doing that that's pleasing to God, we're to do what he tells us to do, but we're not to do it to be seen of men. If we do it to be seen of men, we've had our reward. But we're to do it to just please our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a wonderful standard? A high standard? Is it hard? Is it hard to do things without letting other people know what you're doing? Yes, it is. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. He tells us some more. Well, there's something else in the latter half of Matthew chapter 6. He shows us the two different standards. Here's the standard of the Gentiles. This is what he says in Matthew 6, 31. Here's the other standard, the standard. See, what does the text say? What's the question that Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47? What does he ask? What do ye more than others? What are you doing more than others? And that's what all this we've been talking about has been about, is what are we doing more than others? Now, Matthew 6, start with verse 31. He's already told us, starting in verse 25, don't worry, don't worry. Some people are professional worriers. And they know they're professional worriers. Jesus says, don't worry. Now, I can tell you don't worry, but sometimes I worry. We don't have a double standard, but a goal that we need to attain to is don't worry. God's going to take care of you. And we need to pray, God, help me not to worry. I don't know, how many of you worry sometimes? I doubt that there's anybody that never worries. I doubt that there's anyone who never worries. But that ought to be a goal in our lives, is every time we worry that we realize, God, I know that when I'm worrying, I'm not trusting in you. I'm not depending on you. I'm not believing you. Because you've promised that just like you take care of the birds there, you're going to take care of me. You've promised that just as you clothe the grass of the field, you're going to clothe me. My food, clothing, my food and raiment, God has promised He's going to provide that and take care of that. If I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's the two standards now? Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:31, Jesus says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You see the standard? There's the standard now. Your standard has to be higher than that. The Gentiles seek after those things. But then He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, what's your standard? What are you to seek first? What does the world seek first? And naturally so, what does the world seek first? Food and clothing. They say, we've got to provide. I'm telling you, that's a failure to believe what God's Word says. God says if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will provide. Whose standard is that? That's the standard of Jesus. That's the standard of God. Towards the end of the chapter, He gives another difference. In Matthew 7:24-27, He says, now there are some people that hear the sayings of God, but they don't do them. And there are those that hear and do. And He says, I'm going to compare these two groups of people like a man that built his house on the sand. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he's like a foolish man that built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Then He says, I'm going to liken a wise man to that man that hears these sayings of mine and does them. Is that a higher standard? See, they went into the temple. They all went into the temple every Sabbath. What did they go to the temple for? To what? No. What did they go to the temple for? No. What? No. What did they go to the temple for? What's this part of my body? They went into the temple to hear the Word of God. And they would stand and they would read the Word of God and they would read the Word and they would hear the Word of God. And He says, what Jesus is saying right here is, that's not enough. You going and just hearing the Word of God over and over, you feel like you've done such a wonderful thing just because you've been to the house of God, you've heard the Word of God. Jesus says, not going to help you at all. If all you're doing is hearing the Word of God, if all you're doing is going to the temple and just hearing the Word of God, it's of no value whatsoever. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Do you see a higher standard? Because he heard and he obeyed what he heard. And it says, and the rain descended and the winds blew and the floods came and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. The people of God who follow the Word of God, who do the Word of God, are blessed abundantly by God. We need about another hour because there's so much more that I want you to look at. But I want you to, in closing, I want you to look at two verses of Scripture. Let me start by saying this. You remember, turn to Matthew 19 very quickly because This is just amazing how God's Word reiterates this all the way through the New Testament, the same truth. What are we doing more than others? You remember there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus that wanted to know in Matthew 19, verse 16, he said, one came and said unto him, good master, this is Matthew 19, verse 16, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, and that's the same thing as entering into the kingdom of heaven, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Has he been keeping the Ten Commandments? Had this man been keeping the Ten Commandments? But what, was there something more required? Did Jesus have a higher standard? He says, the young man said, don't you know that young man was happy after Jesus had just finished reiterating all these things because he said, these things, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Did he come up short? Did he keep the law? Okay, he kept the law of the Old Testament. He kept the Moses' law, kept the Ten Commandments, which was good, but it wasn't enough for him to enter into life. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked, what's the first and great commandment? What is it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that hard for you to do, to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself? Who do you love the most? That's right. That's who I would say, unless we have it going right this minute, the person we love the most is ourselves. And the law of God, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The first is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that a high standard? Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Is that a high standard? That's a high standard. But you know what Jesus did later? He made the standard even higher than that. See, it's one thing to say, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. But now turn to John chapter 15 and listen to what he says. In John chapter 15, we'll close right here. Just want you to see the high standard. Here's a tremendously high standard that Jesus has given for us to reach. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, he says, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as much as you love yourself, that you love one another as I have loved you. Which one's harder to do? Is it harder to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, or harder for you to love one another as much as Christ has loved you? You see the high standard he set forth right there? May God help us to realize what a wonderful privilege we have to be able, by the grace of God, for our righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, so that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven and have fellowship with Jesus every day, is my prayer for Christ's sake.